You are listening to the regional newscast for January 14th, 2016. I'm Laura Palmisano. The Grand Valley is one step closer to getting a regional sport shooting complex. On Tuesday night, the Palisade Board of Trustees approved two contracts worth $1.3 million to purchase land for the project. The town received a $2 million grant from the Colorado Department of Local Affairs and $1 million in matching funds from Colorado Parks and Wildlife to make the deal happen. Snowcap Coal and Xcel Energy currently own the property that was once home to a coal-fired power plant. Palisade Administrator Richard Sales says the community has been working with Parks and Wildlife for the past 4 years to create a regional sports shooting complex. And now with contracts to buy the land in place, the next move is to close.
Once we close, then, you know, one of the big processes will seek out a national design firm. That'll be done through the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Office. We'll be seeking out a firm to come in and do engineering, do business plans, design studies for both the indoor and outdoor ranges.
Sales says additional funds are needed for the project. It's estimated the complex could cost up to $20 million to build and take up to a decade to complete. Colorado's annual legislative session started Wednesday with the usual pomp and ceremony and opening day speeches. Lawmakers also began to unveil their priorities for the next 4 months. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The capitol hummed with activity after the eight-month interim, and opening day brought a back-to-school vibe, with families and friends joining lawmakers in the chambers. Isaac Slade, the lead singer of the Denver-based rock band The Fray, sang the national anthem in the Senate, and lawmakers were greeted to spruced-up chambers.
Isn't this amazing?
That's Senate President Bill Cabman. Workers finished a $6 million two-year renovation project, uncovering a skylight at the top of each chamber and removing beige acoustic tiles to unveil vibrant color panels and ornate stenciling on the walls and ceiling. Cabman went on to add that the Capitol's beauty is just a small part of what it stands for.
And it is so much more than the granite. It's so much more than the steel and the brass and the marble. And this place on Brown's Bluff, this is the very symbol of the idea and ideals of freedom.
While his speech didn't focus on policy specifics, leaders in the House did. Democratic Speaker Dickie Lee Hollinghorst highlighted economic security and says no one who works hard should live in poverty or be unable to feed a family.
If you work hard, you deserve to take a vacation, save for retirement, and send your kids to college.
House Democrats are introducing bills that would allow parents to take unpaid time off from work to attend parent-teacher conferences and other school activities. Another bill aims to reorient college savings accounts to help less wealthy families. She also wants to focus on climate change prevention and broadband access.
One of the best ways to support rural Colorado is to double our efforts to bring high-speed internet to all areas of the state.
For his part, House Minority Leader Brian Del Grosso says he wants to reduce unnecessary business regulations and find ways in the budget to fund roads and put more money into education.
The reality is many of the problems we face are not the result of insufficient revenue, but rather a lack of prioritization.
Lawmakers will have the next 4 months to debate those priorities. Bills are already being introduced, but most legislative hearings won't begin until next week. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The Delta Montrose Electric Association recently voted on a major move in its pursuit of regional high-speed fiber-optic internet. KVNF's Jake Ryan sat down with DMEA board member John Gavin to discuss the decision.
So recently the board voted to not only continue on its foray into fiber-optic broadband, but also get into the internet business. Do you know what some of the main reasons why that vote happened?
Yeah, we had overwhelming support from our members to enter the broadband market as a last mile service provider because the quality of services that were available were not up to what people's expectations were. So DMEA spent almost a year analyzing a business case, looking at all of the needs in the service area. We did a member survey that showed, you know, overwhelming support for entering the broadband market. So put all those factors together and couple it with the, you know, very, very important economic development aspects of better broadband. And it made a very compelling case for DMEA to move forward with.
You mentioned economic impacts. That's been something that's been partnered with the idea of fiber optic broadband out here since started to be considered. What type of economic impacts can you get from high speed internet? Isn't it just better Netflix quality?
Well, there's many, many aspects to it. There are study after studies that show that, you know, better broadband spurs economic development. Oh, about 6 months ago, there was a Wall Street Journal article as an example that showed that when a community has fiber to the home in place, the average value of a house goes up by more than $5,000. And it also drives us into a new realm where you look at technologies like what are called smart city services. And you take that further in the case of DMEA to smart grid. And one of the interesting capabilities that this fiber network will provide is also a control channel to the customer's meter, so that in the future, as distributed energy progresses and we have more rooftop solar systems, as an example, you know, those could be assets that could be made a more tightly coupled part of the power supply. So when you look out 10 years, just having a broadband connection to a customer's meter provides all kinds of new opportunities for new services. And this is important, especially as we look at how the nation's power supply is going to be transitioning, you know, in the next 20 to 30 years to a large degree.
I know one of the reasons that we don't have very fast internet here to begin with is that this is a rural area. It's rather remote. Will this fiber optic broadband still have that modifier that, well, it's fiber optic, but, you know, we are in a rural area?
No, this is, I think, one of the key aspects of DMEA's move. DMEA has an enviable reliability record. And our intent in moving forward with a telecommunications service is to provide that same level of quality, reliability, and affordability that the members have come to know through their electric power. So the intent is to provide this service to all of our members. It will take years. It's a multi-year program. But there's no intent to just focus on high-density, more profitable areas. This is a service for all members.
I was curious to see if the internet would be provided to the city and of Delta and Montrose, or is it going to go to every member, even those pretty far out there?
The intent is, just like DMEA did with electric service, to bring broadband to every member.
That was John Gavin speaking to KVNF's Jake Ryan about DMEA's plan for fiber optic internet. You've been listening to the regional newscast on KVNF. I'm Laura Palmisano. Stay tuned for the sweet sound coming up next.